Cinebuds, Cinebuds, two buddies talking about cinema.
Hi, I'm Dori Zori from Radio Milwaukee.
I'm Christopher Pollard from Milwaukee Film.
And I'm Kirsten Larson from Milwaukee Film.
Uh-oh. There's three today.
Three is the magic number. You're listening to Cinebuds, and this week we're so excited. Yeah. It's the return of...
Kirsten Larson. Oh, wait.
And the Milwaukee Film Festival.
I gave you precedence over the Milwaukee Film Festival.
I really appreciate
You're welcome. Kirsten's with us today because she picks a lot of the films for the festival, along with the rest of our wonderful programming staff. And we're going to get a little preview of the films that are coming up in the first week of the film festival.
What are the dates for the Milwaukee Film Festival, if people are just listening?
Absolutely. There, April 11th is opening night, where we will show one wonderful movie. And then it goes through April 25th, and we'll see hundreds after that.
So for the next two episodes of Cinebuds, we're going to break down each week a little preview, a little recommended, if you like, a little sneak peek of what some of these movies are all about for this year.
Yeah. Now, in the first, we just got a couple minutes for the intro, so... What's the pressure? What's the first film you want to call out?
Great question. I don't know. I'm really excited for The Sweet East.
It's going to be
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for enunciating. It's beautiful. But I'm very excited because we're showing it on 35 millimeter film in the main house of the Oriental.
Film buffs are going to love it.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's a funny one too, isn't it?
It is. It's funny. It's weird. It has some famous people in it. Oh. If you are fans of Iowa Debris, she makes a cameo in it.
From The Bear.
Yes. And then everyone's favorite, Jacob Elordi from Saltburn and Euphoria.
He's
also makes a cameo.
He's a tall drink of water.
He sure is. But yeah, that's a crazy one. Our teens picked it out and they have impeccable taste.
Oh, yeah. So. We have a teen screening committee and they... choose the films for the teen screen films. So
I would love to dig into the teen screen films and the committee in the Full On podcast. How do you get to be on that panel? Who do you choose? How does that work? If you have a teenager, you're going to want to listen to the whole podcast.
And if you don't, also listen. So stick around. We're going to be right back. Hey, Wisconsin foodies. This is Tariq Moody of Radio Milwaukee. Join Milwaukee Magazine's food writer Ann Christensen and myself every Friday morning at 8 a.m. for This Bites, Milwaukee's longest-running culinary podcast. We talk about everything from new restaurants, pop-ups, cookbooks, events, and even an occasional interview with the local chef. Head over to RadioMilwaukee.org/ThisBites or listen anywhere you get your podcasts. And we're back.
All right, so before we get into the movies and our week one recommendations, tell me more about how you guys pick out the films. I guess I never really thought before that you involve the whole community in ways, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we have a core team of programmers on our staff, and we travel to different film festivals and watch films in theaters as they're premiering, which is a lot of fun, but also kind of exhausting. If you just imagine watching like six movies a day for a whole week.
I know it does sound like it wouldn't be exhausting, but it genuinely is.
Yeah. It really is. And but then we also request screener links for films, and then a way we get the community more involved is we have our screening committee, which is virtual. So if you're interested in that, we're always looking for people to sign up in the fall. And so they watch films that are submitted to us and then pass them along to programmers if they think they're really great. And then, as we were mentioning in our little promo, we have our teen screen committee, which is so cute and cool.
Yeah.
Cool. They're not cute.
No, they're beyond cute.
Yeah.
But
they're almost grown-ups.
Exactly. Yeah. But they are so smart and incredible, and
they
have such good tastes. But we make a call out to like high schools and stuff where you can just sign up, you fill out a little application, and they meet weekly and they watch screeners, and debate them, which I love listening to because, I don't know, sometimes you can feel kind of jaded as a professional. And then you see these bright, fresh, young faces thinking about all these cool ideas. And they choose their slate. We book it for them. And then they get to share it with all their friends and, you know, get the youths out to the movie theater. Yeah. Instead of sitting around on TikTok all day.
Get off that phone, you little kids.
Exactly.
No, it is amazing. I will also just underscore that by saying listening to them makes me realize when I was their age, I was an idiot. Like, they are so much more well-spoken than I was at that age. So we feel pretty confident in their hands in picking. And they pick really, they make really mature and interesting choices for their selections. So it's a great, I've seen a lot of them. I mean, you can watch them as a teen, but anyone would enjoy these films.
I love it. So you had mentioned one of the films that you're excited about in the intro. You mentioned who was in it, but I think I cut you off before you talked about like a little plot action.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. So it's kind of a Odyssey, like Alice in Wonderland type journey. Mm. But if it was directed by Greg Araki, I would say like it's very like absurd and over the top and yet dry somehow.
Edgy.
Yes.
It's contemporary.
Edgy. You got it, Christopher.
Yeah,
you got the adjectives. But yeah, it is about a young lady who runs away from home and then just meets a bunch of characters along the way. And it is hilarious. And we're going to have a Q&A too, I believe. And the 35mm print will look amazing, which is another thing I love about the festival because unfortunately, I watch a lot of these movies on a laptop screen.
Right.
And so getting to see them on the big screen at the Oriental or wherever is a treat for me as well. So I'm excited to check it out.
However you feel about the movie when you watch it on a laptop is going to be more intense when you watch it. I've had that experience where I watched a drama. It was like a real, like a tragic film. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, that's sad. And then I showed it to a bunch of people and people left the theater going, whew, like, it was like real intense. I'm like, oh yeah, it's going to be more so in a theater.
I mean,
it's
seeing movies on a screen like that, the way they're intended, it makes it larger than life. And really, there's less distractions than when you're at home trying to watch something on a laptop. Or goodness gracious, I know people watch movies on their phone. I don't get it at all.
I've just grasped my pearls.
Clutch. I know.
Yeah.
But I think about all the movies I watch on an airplane on my phone just to pass the time, and it's not doing it justice.
Yeah, it should. Watching stuff on your phone should only be for airplanes or when you have absolutely no other option.
All right, so that's one movie, right?
Yeah.
Do we talk about opening night film?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That one's going to be a lot of fun. It's a documentary called Sherry and Lamb Chop. And it's about Lamb Chop, the puppet,
and her best friend, Sherry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aww. Absolutely. And so, yeah, I hear it's very, beautiful. You're going to love it. You're going to laugh. You're going to cry. We just saw a very cute little promo video for it today, I won't spoil for everyone, but you have to go to the screening to see it because I was going to, like, cry in the middle of work. It was so great. Happy cry, to be clear. It's a alumni director who will be there for the Q&A, which will be really fun as well. And I just think it's such a great film for opening night because it has that intergenerational appeal where it's like your parents probably watched Lamb Chop and then you watched Lamb Chop growing up and still is enduring after all this time. And so it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, I think that's going to be appealing to a lot of people. I like remember reruns of sitcoms when I was a kid that had guest starring Sherry
like
Lamb Chop.
The Muppets Show.
Yeah, right. Or like Love Boat.
Yes.
And Lamb Chop was on there. And then, but then I have, like, my mom remembers when there was like they had their own TV show, their own Spotlight TV show. So I think it'll be interesting. Yeah.
Very cool. I can't wait to learn more about the inspiration behind making a documentary with these two.
Yeah.
All right. So what else is on your sweet, sweet list?
So this one is funny, where it's another one the teens picked out, but we were encouraging them to choose a repertory film.
What does that mean?
It means an old film,
yeah.
Which, I don't know, like by business standards, it's like 1 or 2 years old. But generally, you want there to be a fair element of nostalgia involved. Yeah. And so it's like your Cinebuds screenings.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are always classics. But it is funny to say that the teens chose the movie Spy Kids,
classic cinema.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm saying, where you're just like...
Is that Antonio Banderas, Spy Kids?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be so fun. But even our programmer, Abby, who, you know, is a youth in her own right, was like, that was the first movie I saw in theaters. And all the teens were like, wow, you're really old. And I was like, oh my God. How could you say that to her? But anyway, I think it's still going to be a blast because, as we were saying before, it can appeal to anyone. And
Spy Kids is a great movie.
Yes.
I remember
it's
when
so
I saw
much fun.
It was not in the theater.
Yeah.
I was much older. They must think I'm an absolute grandpa.
They sure do.
But it is, Spy Kids is like one of my favorite like teen kid movies, like fantastical. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be a fun one.
Yes, and absolutely Antonio Banderas is very important.
He's very young in there too, so that'll be
mm-hmm.
nice to revisit his the prime.
Yep.
Oh.
I want to get back to more of your favorites, but what is a film that's maybe happening on Milwaukee Day 4/14 Sunday, the day that we kick off our Sunday shoes?
Let's see. Oh, there's Footloose that day.
Oh,
what?
That's right.
Oh, celebrating a big anniversary this year, that Footloose.
That's true. 40 years.
And now I'm clutching my pearls because I saw that in a theater and I am nowhere near 40 years old.
Yeah, no, not at all. Yeah, so if we haven't said this enough yet, Cinebuds Live. Cinebuds is going live for the third year in a row at the Milwaukee Film Festival, but the first year with Dory Zori.
Yeah, I couldn't make it last year, so Mr. Dory Zori tagged in, and you guys watch Enter the Dragon. I'm very excited to watch a film that was near and dear to my heart. My first discovery of Kevin Bacon when I was in junior high was Footloose. So to be able to watch this on the big screen again with a theater full of people, and then more importantly, we get to do a live Cinebuds taping right after. Q&As. We'd love to hear what you guys think of the film. Maybe your memories around when you saw it for the first time. So we would really love you to come to the theater on 4/14 day.
There might be some fun giveaways going on.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to dress up like you're going to an 80s prom, I highly encourage you to do so. But yeah, that's going to be so much fun. That's one of my favorite 80s classics. I've seen it many times.
What are the chances we could turn it into a Stop Making Sense moment and everybody's cutting Footloose in the theater along with Kevin Bacon?
That's right. Oh, we'll be on the stage doing the little foot scoot.
And then fall off the stage.
Very dangerous on that stage, by the way. Do not foot scoot on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
You must be foot tight up on that stage.
And do not break the screen.
No.
It's the number one rule.
It is the number one rule.
What's your relationship? Oh, sorry.
No.
What's your relationship to Footloose?
I believe I unfortunately only watched it at home alone. So it's exciting to watch it on the big screen. Even at Friends and Family Night when we showed the trailer, I was like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so good. Like, I'm ready to dance. Like, the end of that movie.
I know.
Probably one of the most beautiful scenes in
really
cinema
good.
History.
And one of the best soundtracks of all time.
Agreed.
It's got a great 80s soundtrack, which you wouldn't expect from an 80s film.
Which is weird because it was created in the 90s.
Yeah,
no, wait, 70s.
2017. Okay, enough of my self-promotion, but what else are you excited about?
All right, I did some research. We got some music documentaries for you. I hear you
guys
like music.
We do.
Yeah.
Doesn't everyone?
Yeah, I suppose so. But one that I'm really excited about is a local documentary called String Theory, and it is about a stand-up bassist who used to teach out at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Richard Davis, and he has this amazing history of playing bass with all of these incredible musicians throughout the years. But then he settled down in Madison and was teaching bass for years and years and years to college students. And he has a special method that he uses for teaching the bass to people. And it's just so incredible to see his influence throughout the decades.
That's cool.
He unfortunately has passed recently, but it's going to be a really good Q&A. All of our local films have incredible Q&As afterwards. And I believe we will also have little musical performances at them, too, because you can just bring a bass down there and start playing away. So,
that's going to be awesome. I love it when we can add little fun things like that.
100%. So I'm really excited about that one. And it's such a cool story.
Oh, that's awesome.
The events that you program around the films is what makes Milwaukee Film Festival so very special for us every single year.
It's really nice. Everyone comes out and they can watch a movie and then they can go do some other fun stuff. And there's a lot of great restaurants around all the theaters, so it's really fun. How many more do we have room for, do you think?
I think we could talk. We're only 15 minutes in, so what else is on your list?
Nuts.
All right, I got more. So another one that I think is going to be cool is called Diane Warren Relentless.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a documentary about the film composer Diane Warren, who you may remember from the Oscars. She is usually nominated every single year. And people are like, oh, yeah, I don't know. It's like Beyonce and John Legend. And then you're like, Diane Warren, who is that?
Yeah.
But she's probably one of the most nominated people in Oscar history because they're just year after year, like, you crushed it. Great job. And so this is her time to shine in the spotlight of having a whole documentary about her work and her history. And so then you got to check it out. So when the Oscars come around again, you can be like, I know who she is. Old news.
I know her whole story.
Exactly.
I think films...
Forget you, Randy Newman.
Yeah. It's Diane Warren all day long. But also pretty cool to have a film like this to inspire budding young composers that might... You know, you don't see a lot of women that are held to that level in this world. So it's always really great, too, for all of our young... females and femmes and female identifying kids to see a face like that on the big screen.
For sure. And am I wrong in that she did Time of My Life from Dirty Dancing?
That was like her big one.
That's her big one, yeah.
That's a classic.
I think there's a bunch of them where you're like, oh, that's her. That one's from her too. Like a lot of identifiable songs.
She also has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame and, of course, has been inducted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I mean, that's like a given, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, now I just want to sing I've Had the Time of My Life.
I know, that's sort of that stuck in my head.
Let's do it.
I'm shy.
We'll end on that song, Marcus.
Yeah, that's right.
Marcus, feel free to end us on that song.
But let's
Next.
See. We got more. I feel like this is a slam dunk for the Radio Milwaukee audience.
Yeah.
So we have the documentary, Who Can See Forever?
Yeah, this is one of the most... This is on my top 10 list.
Mm-hmm. And it is about Iron and Wine.
Yeah.
Who doesn't love Iron and Wine?
You know, fun fact, we're trying to get Sam Beam here for a Studio Milwaukee session when Iron and Wine's in town, and that would be amazing. This place would be packed. So, yeah, good call.
Absolutely. So you got to check out the movie. It is about a tour that they were on, but then sort of evolves into more, and you get very intimate story with the band. And I hear it's kind of an unconventional documentary where it's much more subdued and calm.
Well,
not unlike an Iron and Wine song.
That's so true.
And once again, our programmer Abby described it as a warm hug.
Oh, I love that.
I only program movies that make people upset and sad. So if I hear that a movie is nice and comforting, I'm like, okay, I'll check it out.
You're the yin and yang of our programming.
Exactly,
too.
Exactly.
Well, a fun fact about Iron and Wine is at my wedding, my wife and I chose songs for each other to walk up the aisle to, but we didn't tell each other. And the one I chose for her was Iron and Wine's version of Time After Time.
Oh, beautiful.
It was not a dry eye in the house, everybody. I win. Yeah.
Well, that's funny because the song that I had at my wedding where Millen and I danced to was Iron and Wine's version of the Postal Service's Such Great Heights.
Oh.
So, I mean, he's really, talk about warm hugs and tugging at the heartstrings. The Grammy-nominated dude is, I can't wait to see this film.
Iron and Wine is like the Bruno Mars of cool weddings. Like, yeah, you're going to have Bruno Mars at your wedding. I'm going to have Iron Wine at my wedding. That took such effort to come up with all those names.
You did
right
a great
now.
Job. Yeah. You're such a hipster, dude.
Yeah. I'm so cool, guys.
Anything else on your list for week one that you want to highlight before we ask our very important questions?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would just say, generally speaking, everyone should make sure to check out shorts programs because there's something for everyone.
Yeah.
They are fiction, we got animation, we got kids shorts, we got horror film shorts, definitely not for kids. Yeah. So yeah. Plan accordingly. They're at like midnight, so you will not be bringing any children to those. But yeah, documentary, fiction, they're the best, and you really get to see a range of films within the course of the program. So I would highly recommend checking out at least one of those programs.
Jack, our programmer, always says, if you left, if the festival's over and you didn't see a shorts program, you essentially didn't go to the festival.
Right. That's on you. There's yeah. plenty of opportunities.
Yeah.
I love the shorts, too, because you're right. You can see so much content in what would be the regular length of a film. And sometimes for people that can't sit through a whole film, it's like you're just treating them with special little nuggets.
That's right.
All evening long.
No, those are all. And he does such great job programming. There's a lot of impressive stuff in there.
All right.
Yeah.
So, we will have a second part of this podcast that will air next week with more films to see, but give everyone right now the easiest way for them to find the full schedule, ticket information for 2024 Milwaukee Film Festival.
Yeah, you can go to mkefilm.org. You can go to mkefilm.org/festival guide. If you want to dig in, just dig in on all the films. You can pull them up by a category. You can just search. It's really fun. And tickets are on sale now.
Wonderful.
Because this comes out to...
This comes out next week.
Well, then definitely they're on sale. Go bananas.
Bananas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I guess I have one more question for you about this year's art and artist. Can we give a little love there?
Yes. Pause.
If the answer is no...
No.
Okay.
I just need a refresher on her name.
Oh, sorry.
So we will pause, and I'm going to pull it up.
And we can always get to that, too, in episode 2.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. Marcus, just cut all this out. Just out. Wait, actually, hold on 1 second. No, Marcus, you cut it out. Okay. I don't want to accidentally erase this whole thing.
Well, what we like to do, Kirsten, you've been here many times, but we have a new tradition where anyone who comes in, we like to get to know them through their movies that they've seen. So we'd like to ask you a few questions about your movie, Histoire.
Okay.
That's French for history.
I love it.
You want to go first?
Yes, please. What was the first film you remember seeing in a theater?
So I could lie because I know the literal first film I saw in theaters, which was Beauty and the Beast, which was like 2 months after I was born. Oh. So I'll just say, oh yes, I was 100% alert and cogent was like, this is a stone cold classic. The Disney Renaissance is upon us.
These movies, I'm into them.
Exactly.
You started calling your family Gaston.
Mm-hmm. I learned French as well.
Oh, yeah, that's
and it was beautiful. But yeah, I don't know.
What's the
first
one you remember
I
seeing?
I remember seeing Trek.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was good times.
Was it in a small theater in your hometown or a big multi-cineplex situation, drive-in theater?
It was a regular multiplex in my hometown, which was really great. You can walk to it. Delightful. We love a walkable city.
Yeah, it's good. All right, what about, what is, out of all the funny movies you've seen, it doesn't have to be the absolute best, but what's one of the funniest movies you've ever seen?
One of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Made you laugh the hardest.
I mean, I'm just gonna say also probably my favorite movie.
Sure.
Which is Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
That is a good one.
Which, like, at this point, I've probably seen it so many times that I'm like, I know all the jokes and can say them along with the movie, so it's not like it's catching me off guard, but it was a life-changing experience the first time I saw it, and I am a Chicago girly, I have to admit. So it has a very
special
place in my heart.
That's a good pick.
Yeah, I like to think
that,
so.
That is a movie that I've come to realize is one of my favorite movies. It took me a while, but I've seen it since I was a kid. But it was like in the last 5 years, I'm like, that is a flawless movie. And I feel like people, when they talk about their favorite movies, it's almost never like a broad comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But that one is pitch perfect. And it's also like has some really great style moments in it. I think it's a perfect movie.
Well, yeah. And I feel like you always hear, I don't know if this is like a Shakespeare thing or what, but it's like just saying that it's so much harder to create a really good comedy than it is to create a compelling drama, because it's like anything can make people upset or sad, but it's it's hard to like tell a joke that will appeal to a broad audience.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I feel like they didn't leave anything in that movie that they shouldn't have. And I wonder, like, if you've ever seen an extended version, like a director's like uncut version, were there actual scenes in there that like is also do perfect comedies like that have a lot to do with the editing process?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, when I was rewatching it with that in mind, I was like, everything they did, the casting, like the guys who work at the garage that watch the car, the casting on that is perfect. Like their lines are perfect and they're like in it for 4 seconds. But yeah, and then the edit, speaking of the editing, there's that montage when they're going around Chicago and in the museum where they go the close-ups of their face and the close-ups of the Monet and then back and forth. Like, all of that is pitch perfect. And then the music that we, it's just spot on.
Absolutely.
And good choice.
Oh, thanks, Christopher.
Well, you're way too happy right now. So when you need a good cry and to be in your feels, what is that movie you turn to that gives you that?
I'm going to have the caveat that I do not turn to this when I want a good cry. That would be so disturbing. But the movie that has made me cry the most, it was actually very funny because I was in a film class in college and we started watching Dancer in the Dark in class. And then it like stopped working for some reason, like halfway through. And they're like, okay, just like find it online and finish it at home. And so then I'm finishing it and I am devastated by the end of the movie and just sobbing uncontrollably. And I'm like, thank God we didn't watch this in public. This would be so embarrassing. So 100% Dancer in the Dark, Lars von Trier. Out of control.
And I'm not making this up. When you just said, I mean, let me be clear, I don't turn to this movie. The first thing I thought was Dancer in the Dark.
Whoa.
I saw that in the theater, by the way, and there's these two dudes in front of me, real dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like giving each other the business and like joking around and being rowdy until it started. And then one of them like was like fake crying, like he's like, oh my God, so sad, kind of a vibe. But it wasn't 5 minutes before one of them was genuinely crying and trying desperately not to be seen. And that was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
That's great.
I was just looking to see what year that actually came out. And it was 2000. And I obviously knew who Bjork was before that because she released a ton of great music. And we might have even gone to see it at the Oriental Theater or the Downer, a theater like that.
Yeah.
And I remember also just thinking, oh, we love her music videos and her music is so like upbeat and kind of dark, but I was not prepared at all.
Yeah.
And it's one of those movies we talk about, like we don't ever necessarily choose to watch it because it just kind of guts you, like Kids or American History X.
Right.
But I think if you've never seen it before, everyone should see it at least one time.
Yeah. I feel like that's the exact number of times you need to see it. But you do need to see it once. It's really
great. And I
don't
even want to talk about like what it's about necessarily.
Yeah. Everyone just watch it, but have tissues ready.
It is a musical.
Yeah.
Bjork does sing in it.
That's true. She hears music everywhere, in fact.
That's so true. Well, of course she does. She's Bjork. This has been fun.
Soup's fun. I love fun.
Well, we're going to have another one next week, so come back and you'll hear about the second week of the festival, and Kirsten will be here with us then. But we got to thank some people.
Yeah, thank you to Marcus Doucette, our producer of the Cinebuds podcast.
Yes, thank you. And thank you to Newski, who does our wonderful theme song every week. And we want to thank our members at Milwaukee Film and Radio Milwaukee. We couldn't do this without you. Thank you so much.
Until next week, we'll see you then.
Thank you, Kirsten.
You're welcome.
Bye.